Father in heaven, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing to you, and that all words that are not from you or not true fall to the ground as rubbish, and those that are true and are your will penetrate the hearts of those that can hear. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So it's been a while, but have you ever been on one of those 4D rides? It's an immersive ride in a theme park, and they load you into a seat. It looks like a spaceship, and the lights go down, the screen wraps around you, right? Your entire field of vision, and the second the ride starts, you're immersed into an adventure. The seat jerks to the left. You're dodging objects that are flying directly at you. Wind blasts in your face. You're flying through a canyon headed straight into a river. Mist sprays your legs. I haven't been this part. I'm just making that part up. There might be a ride like that, but it would be cool. If there's not one, it would be cool. But then the floor rumbles as you see dinosaurs chasing after you in the corner of your eye, right? The music swells, your heart races, your brain is convinced that you're moving at 100 miles an hour. It's awesome. It feels so real. But then the ride stops. The screen fades. The lights come up. And you realize you never actually traveled anywhere. You were in the room, that room, the whole time. You experienced all the sensations of movement, but without the reality of motion. It was stimulating. It was emotional and intense. You felt all those feelings. But ultimately, it was manufactured. It was made up. It gave the illusion of something that was happening, but it didn't take you anywhere. And I think for a lot of us, that's a pretty accurate picture of how we sometimes view and treat worship. We come into a room like this, and the sun's shining, the lights are just right, the songs hit all the right chords, literally, thank you, team, literally and emotionally, they hit all the right chords. Sometimes our hands go up, our hearts swell, maybe we even get a tear in our eye. It feels powerful. It feels like God is so close. And yes, sometimes that's absolutely real. I truly believe God is in those moments. He moves us in those moments. But if we're not careful, we start chasing that same ride every Sunday. We start believing that feeling something is the same as worshiping someone. We can easily confuse an emotional high with spiritual depth, or mistake goosebumps for God's presence. And like that 4D ride, we may walk away thinking we've gone somewhere spiritually when we actually haven't moved at all. This is exactly why we've spent the past 5 weeks in this series that we called The Other 167. Because worship is not confined to this 60-minute Sunday experience. And we established that this is very important. I believe that our gathering is a vital part of our weekly preparation for worship to springboard us into the rest of the week through opportunities like rest, through service, by putting love into action. And today, as we close this series, we're pressing into one final vital truth. Because while worship can include singing and strong emotions and all the other topics we've covered, what about the ordinary unseen hours? What about when you're sitting in traffic and someone cuts you off? What about folding laundry for the third time this week? Answering emails you don't want to answer? Cooking dinner for kids who won't say thank you? Maybe that's in your past, but you still remember that, can't you? Yeah. Is that still worship? Here's a hard truth. If worship is only something we feel, then the majority of our lives are spiritually silent. But if worship is how we respond, then every waking moment becomes an opportunity to honor God. It's our response. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a posture. Worship is a response. So today we're going to explore how even the most mundane moments, the ones no one claps for, the ones that we don't post about, can become holy, can become worshipful. Worship-filled ground when we choose to respond with the heart of God. As we learn this important biblical truth, a spirit-filled response to life is an act of worship. A spirit-filled response to life is an act of worship. That's beautiful. To better understand this point, let's turn to a very popular scripture found in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I've got a feeling that a lot of you have those memorized. Now, a lot of times we read a list like this, and we picture someone on a spiritual mountaintop. It's someone sitting on a sunny porch with their Bible, sipping coffee, fully rested, fully calm, with zero distractions or drama in life. But that's not real life for most of us. Truth is, real life is loud. Real life is messy. Real life is traffic jams. Real life is school drop-offs, tension at work, dishes in the sink that somehow just keep multiplying, even when there's just two of you in the house. And here's the deeper truth. The fruit of the Spirit wasn't given to us just for the highlight real moments. It was given for the everyday grind. Each one of these fruits is a response. And when we choose to respond with the Spirit rather than react in the flesh, that choice becomes an act of worship. It's not always flashy, it's not always emotional, but it is always deeply spiritual. Let me show you what I mean. Love in this context isn't a heart emotion. It's choosing to believe the best about someone instead of assuming the worst. When you respond with grace instead of gossip. When you defend instead of tear down. That's love. That's worship. Take peace, for example. I hear people pray for peace all the time. But peace isn't about having a calm life. It's about having a calm spirit. Peace is not needing to win every argument. It's walking away instead of getting the last word. When you prioritize relationship over being right, that's worship. Kindness isn't just about being polite on Sunday. It's how you send that email. It's the tone you use in that text. It's when you take a second to make sure your words carry grace, not just information. That's worship. Self-control is hitting delete on the comment you really want to post. It's walking away from that addiction. It's refusing to let your impulses run your life. When you let the Spirit lead instead of your emotions leading, that's worship. Let me give you a personal example for a moment. Recently had one of those long days where exhaustion was knocking on my door. I don't think people should be in theater when they're 70 years old. That's my statement. Because I was very tired recently. Work was piling up. I'm trying to write something, it's just not coming. I was in more meetings and moments at my desk. I had forgotten to do something that I had promised someone that I would do the night before, and it created self-inflicted tension. Ever heard of that? You can't go to sleep because you're worried about what you just messed up. My check engine light came on less than a week after repairing something else. I had zero margin and even less patience. And right at the worst time, a situation popped up. I got one of those emails that just rubbed you the wrong way. You ever had one of those? By the smiles on your faces, I think you have. I had my response ready. I was all fired up. I was ready to go. I felt justified. I was locked and loaded. Side note, I was right. And everything in me wanted to respond in the flesh and not only win the exchange, but put an end to it. But the Spirit in me whispered. Remember last week I talked about the Spirit? The Spirit talks to me in very vital moments and has changed my direction so many times. In this moment, the Spirit whispered to me, you can be right or you can be wise. Well, I knew in that moment I had a choice. To gratify my flesh or to respond with the Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about in Galatians 5 as he continues. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or to be jealous of one another. That moment wasn't about an email. It was about who the Spirit is shaping me to be. It was about staying in step with the Spirit, not just when I'm preaching or leading us or praying, but in the real, raw, everyday life stuff. In other words, every day we walk up to a fork in the road. One direction is emotional response, or impulse, I should say, emotional impulse, or the other one is spiritual response. And how we respond in that moment, that's where worship lives. So what does that tell us? It tells us something most of us were never taught in church, Worship isn't something you wait to feel. It's something you offer to God. Moment by moment by moment, decision by decision, response by response. So let's take this even further as we close out this series to say that worship is an offering, not an emotion. If we're going to live lives of true worship, we have to redefine it. And so for some of us, this may be the most important shift we make in our faith. For a long time, many of us were taught, or at least assumed, that worship was mostly about music. And it is. It's an integral part. We learn to associate worship with singing, with moments of feelings, and where the band plays our favorite song and we feel close to God. And that's great, but it's not the full picture. I hope you're seeing that by now. That's not the biblical definition of worship. Worship is not just a sound, it's a response. It's not just an emotion, it's a posture. It's how we live, obey, love, and react. It's how we live, obey, love, and react. Which all sounds flowery and wonderful. But let's bring that down, what that really means. Let's break that down. Because worship isn't just lived out on Sunday, it's tested in the mundane on Tuesday. And here's a sobering truth. The mundane moments of life reveal what's inside of you more than the mountaintop ones ever will. The everyday stuff, our routine, our schedules, our conversations, our frustrations, that's where our habits and our character show up. Those moments are mirrors. So ask yourself, what comes out when you're inconvenienced? How do you speak when you're under pressure? Who are you when no one's watching? It's in the ordinary that we see what kind of worship is truly taking place in our hearts. That doesn't mean you can never get frustrated. No, of course not. It doesn't mean you can't feel negative emotions. We all do. It's called being a human being. But a response to those moments are an opportunity for offering worship to God. When your kids spill cereal for the third time and you're already late, you choose patience instead of snapping in that moment. That's worship. How many times have I been? Yeah, whatever. I think my true confessions are done for the rest of this message. This is all about somebody else now. When your coworker tests your patience with another passive-aggressive comment, responding with self-control instead of sarcasm, that's worship. When you're stuck in traffic and every car seems to be in your way, God's really testing me on this one. Choosing calmness over frustration, that's worship. These aren't just moments of inconvenience, they're opportunities for offering. That's exactly what Paul is talking about in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I want to break this passage down. This is one of my favorite four lines of scripture right here. In view of God's mercy. You see that phrase? In other words, because of what he's done for you. Offer your bodies, not just your hands in worship, but your whole self, your time, your choices, your reactions, your ordinary routines. As a living sacrifice. That means it's ongoing. It's not a one and done. A living sacrifice. Not just in the sanctuary, but in the office. Not just in the church parking lot, but in traffic. Not just when you feel spiritual, but especially when you don't. Paul is saying that's real, all capitals, worship. The question isn't, will we stumble into a chance to do this? You already know, and you've thought the thoughts that this your daily life is filled with countless opportunities. The question is, will we see the chance and give an offering to God in those moments? As we begin to wrap up the series, this is what we're left with. Not just a new understanding of worship, but a new opportunity to live it. So let's stop chasing a feeling and start offering a response. Let me give you a few practical ways you can start this week. First, start the day with a simple prayer. Before your feet hit the floor, before you take the covers off, Before the emails? Absolutely before the emails. So let me implore you with that. Before the noise of your day begins, start here. Something like, God, help me respond to life today in a way that reflects you. You could use that over and over again every morning. Let me respond to my life today, the life moments today, in a way that reflects you to other people. It's simple, it's short, but it's powerful. Why? Because what you're doing is surrendering the day before it starts. It's an offering to begin your day of worship. Next, again, this is about other people, not me. Slow down to notice your responses. You won't always get it right, but you can grow if you learn to pay attention. When something triggers you, whether it's frustration, temptation, impatience, stop and ask yourself, is this the fruit of the Spirit or is this my flesh? Sometimes just asking the question gives the Spirit room to speak before you react. Just pause for that long. Celebrate small wins. Don't overlook the power of progress. Every time you choose gentleness over harshness, kindness over irritation, patience over snapping, celebrate those moments. They may feel small, but they matter to God. Invite the Holy Spirit into your ordinary moments. Here's the truth. You don't manufacture the fruit of the Spirit by trying harder. You bear it by staying connected to the source. You heard what David read to you about abiding. That's very, very, very vineyard related, isn't it? Fruit doesn't grow because the tree strains and grits its teeth. It grows because it's rooted, it's nourished, it's healthy. So don't try to will your way into worship. Ask the Spirit to fill you, to guide you, to help you grow. Now I'm going to ask the band to come up as I finish here. We're going to say a unison prayer when we finish here. So I just want them to be prepared. I hope that this series has challenged you. And I hope that we've not only redefined worship, but encourage you to lean into it. Whether it's through a song to ignite your spirit that launches you into your week, or through Spirit-filled rest that nourishes your soul, whether it manifests itself by serving Jesus, imitating Jesus in service and love, or today, how you respond. When it's hard, when it's boring, when no one is watching, this hour matters, and the other 167 do too. They're full of moments. Holy, ordinary, beautiful, messy, where you get to show what matters most to you, so may your life become your worship. May your responses reflect the Spirit within you. And may the world see Jesus not just in your Sunday, but in your everyday. And I just ask you to join me in this unison prayer. God, thank you for inviting us into a life of worship, not just in songs, but in every moment. Teach us to respond to life in ways that reflect you. Grow the fruit of your Spirit in us. Help us to see ordinary moments as sacred. We offer you our lives, not just the parts we've polished, but the unpolished ones where we need you. May we be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.